everybody, and welcome to another episode of the She's My Sister podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about the pros and cons of social media, along with some other things. But I am Maddie, and I am the middle sister.
I'm Katie. I'm the oldest sister.
I'm Amy, the youngest sister.
But to start off our conversation, we just wanted to talk about our own habits with our screens and social media and how long that we spend on our phones and, you know, TV screens or whatever it may be. And this isn't to make anyone feel bad about their screen time. We're not judging, but it is something that we should all take a look at once in a while. You do have a function on your phone. You just have to turn it on in your settings where it tracks your screen time and it divides it up between what apps you're spending the most time on and how long you're on each one.
Moment of truth here. I think rather than today, I'm going to go with my weekly average. And that comes down to an average of 3.5 hours per day. Yikes.
That's nothing.
Really? Because I feel like that's a very long amount of time. I feel a little bit better when I realize how it's broken up, though. So after looking at my daily average, then I can go down and it'll show the categories and what I'm spending the most time on. That includes using things like my Libby, so my that's my audiobook app that I use, my podcast app, those are all included in there, email, anytime you're using your camera, Pinterest, text messages, looking at your photos, shopping on Amazon, looking at Facebook, Poshmark, TikTok.
So basically anything on your phone that you use.
Yes. So I was just kind of, that's what I was looking at. That's what I personally was using it the most for. If you continue scrolling down, then it goes on to a section that says pickups. This is the part that I think I struggle with the most. So I really dislike that. It says, so for daily average, I am at 105 pickups. So that means I have picked up and checked my phone. So that doesn't mean like actually gone on it. It just means like you woke up the screen. So I'm at 105 pickups. And I think that's my biggest thing is I'm constantly turning on and off the screen just to check and see, oh, do I have any notifications? Do I have any text messages? Whatever it is. Sometimes I find myself not even necessarily thinking about it. I just grab it and like unconsciously wake the screen just to check it. And then it's like, I just checked it a few minutes ago. Why am I looking at it again? Like I do it out of a habit.
Because you want that dopamine release.
Yeah. And then it'll show you your first used app after you pick it up. So what's the very first thing that you look at?
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad mine was turned off so I can't check what that was.
I think that
was
the
app
that Amy.
What was the app you look at the most, Katie?
It says first used after pickup is Facebook, followed by Safari, and then messages.
Oh.
So that's a little upsetting right there. So I think that's, if you haven't done it before, I encourage you to. I get like a weekly report where it sends me each week. It'll send me like, you were up 20% or you were down 30% this week compared to last week for your screen time. But I don't typically go in and look at my actual daily number, and it's a wake-up call right there, I'd say.
So for my screen time, it is significantly higher than Katie's. I'm at 4 hours and 45 minutes for my daily average. So, and then I have 113 pickups as my, how many times I pick up my phone. It's a higher number, but I'm honestly not too, like, upset about it. I listen to a lot of podcasts on my way to and from work and just whenever I'm at home.
Oh my. Yeah.
So I'm not mad about that. Podcasts are definitely like making my life better, not taking from it. However, I do have a fair amount of time on my social media apps that I'm just probably scrolling, especially like TikTok. When I'm on there, I'm just watching videos. And basically, when I, like, say I get home from work and I'm really tired, I lay on the couch and I get in my comfy spot and I just start scrolling on TikTok. And it's something that I've realized, like, I need to definitely cut down on. It's really easy to just start scrolling for hours on end. Honestly, like, time flies when you're on that app.
When you scroll on TikTok, there is never-ending new videos to watch. Like, you cannot get to the end of it.
Right.
So well, like on my Instagram, on my Instagram, I will get to the end. I'll get to the thing where it gives you a little notification that says, hey, you're all caught up. And so it's like, great, I need to get off the app and there's nothing to look at. With TikTok, it's just like, oh, a new video. Like, it never ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so something we also wanted to talk about in this episode is if you have Netflix, you may have seen the documentary, The Social Dilemma. And it's basically ex-founders of, or people who worked really closely building social media sites such as like Pinterest, Instagram,
Gmail, Twitter.
They are all, yeah, and they're basically talking about how social media can have a really harmful effect on people. And there are definitely benefits to it, which we're going to talk about, but they're basically talking about all the downsides. And one of them they were talking about specifically when you're watching videos like on TikTok or Instagram Reels, whatever it is, they are tracking literally everything you do, from the amount of time you're spending on a specific video to if you liked that video. And with each swipe of a video, they're predicting what they should show you next. And
how long you lingered on a photo.
So crazy how accurate they can be to what you want to see next. And they make it so tailored to you that you can't get away, because every new video, it's like, oh, I want to watch this. Okay, last one. Okay, last one. And then you just keep going. And that's what these algorithms were made to do. They were made to keep you on the app as long as possible, because the longer you're on, the more ads they can push out to you.
Their ultimate goal isn't just necessarily to show you advertisements, but it's to very slowly over time change the way you do something or change the way you think about something. And they talked about how being able to predict what kind of change you're going to make is huge for any kind of business. And so everything they do, everything they're watching, all the data they're gathering on you is trying to be the very best prediction on what you're going to do and how you're going to respond to things that they show you. And they worded it as in, if you go to a company, you say, hey, for this much money, I can change the world 1%. That, I mean, if you're changing the world, 1% is worth it. And I think we can definitely agree that with the amount of people that are on social media, like Facebook and Instagram, the world has definitely changed at least 1% with the way people interact now and the way they use the internet.
Well, something that I found super interesting that they talked about is the political polarization that has taken place since the uproar of social media. So like since 2010, the amount of differences seen by different political parties about each other has gotten so huge that basically like one political party hates the other one and vice versa, because the way that it was explained was so interesting. So basically, say you have a certain political viewpoint or all your viewpoints, your social media, every single platform that you're on, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, even down to your email, what's happening, or your, you know, your email platform, what's happening is they are sending you information that they know you agree with and that you like. So basically you start thinking everyone agrees with you and everyone has your viewpoints, and you have all this information that you think, how can these other people think the way that they do when this is the information that you have and you're receiving, but they might be receiving completely opposite information and news. And so it's just very,
very one-sided.
And that can create a lot of, I think, hate and just resentment towards people who don't think exactly like you. And I think there needs to be a little bit more leeway in terms of, you know, it's okay not to agree with everyone. No, people are never going to all agree with you. And I think social media has made that a little bit harder for people to accept.
I think what's difficult also, in addition to getting lulled into a false sense that everyone agrees with you, if you have, because I tend to follow people that I agree with or that post things that I find interesting, so it's usually something that I agree with. So then you get lulled into this sense of, oh, like all of these other, everyone else thinks the same way that I am, is that people often post or share things that are not necessarily fact checked or true.
Now, the thing is, though, the way our brains work is sometimes if we see something and we want to believe that it's true, we forget the source
All we remember is, hey, I read somewhere or heard from someone that this is a
thing. I see that so often. Not even necessarily something I read on, I saw on social media. It could be something I heard, I read in a book, or I was talking to somebody and I'll say, oh yeah, like I heard about blah, blah, blah. And then I will not remember what my source was or where I got it from.
Exactly. There's actually a name for it. I can't remember right now, but I learned about it in a psychology class and I wish I remember the name for it. See, there it is. I don't even remember the name for it or where I learned it for sure. But I know that that is a thing and I can see it happen to me all the time. And so there are times where I'll start to think like, oh, this thing is true. And then I try to trace back, where did I hear that or read that? And if I can remember, sometimes it's, oh, I saw it on a TikTok video where I didn't verify the sources. Like maybe I shouldn't be like repeating that or remembering it. So I think sometimes even when I like look at a post on the internet, I think, ah, I don't know if that's true. I would need to fact check that. Like I need to look into that. That might not be true. Later on, just having seen it, it pops into my head. Mm-hmm. And whether or not I consciously decide if it's true or not, it's still right there.
Yes, that's very, very true.
One thing the documentary brought up, and I'm going to move off the documentary after this, but it's just something that I've thought of a million times to myself, is it talked about how there's a generation that has been taught the main form of communication is all through their phones and through social media mostly. And it talked about how social media is all about manipulation and manipulating users into using as much screen time as possible. And it's talking about how this generation, their main form of communication is through a platform that is just manipulating them and how weird that was. And it's so strange to me to imagine being part of a generation that has never not known like a world with no phones, with no social media. They've never experienced that.
Right.
And I wonder in like 50 years how different that is going to make things look. Like that's what I wonder a lot of the time is what are studies going to show the effects of us using our phones, you know, once we've been doing it for 20 years.
Oh, one more point that I think should be talked about is that these ex-founders of all of these social media sites, I mean, maybe some people would say that they're paranoid, but they don't let their children use these social media sites or else they monitor them super closely. So that's kind of saying something, that if they created these, they know better than anyone what they do, mm-hmm. and they're not letting their own kids use them. Basically, what I'm trying to say with that is that I think kids need to be monitored definitely more than anybody. Kids and preteens and teenagers, especially because the worst part of the documentary, the saddest part of the documentary, was talking about how suicide and just mental health issues have skyrocketed since 2010 when smartphones and social media kind of took over. So
something I think that I think that, yes, there's a correlation, I'm sure, between social media use. And so it said it was a 62% raise in self-harm for especially among teenage girls and middle school girls. But I think that we can't attribute all of that just to social media use. I think we also need to look at economics and other things that are going on within the world and like home stability. I think there's a lot more that goes into such a complex issue than just saying, oh, this is all because of social media.
Oh, for sure. Because a lot of things have changed in the last 10 years, not just social media. So I'm sure that that has something to do with it, but it's definitely not everything to sure. do with it. A documentary is trying to persuade you of something, and this one was obviously to persuade you that social media is very harmful, especially if it's not used correctly, which I do agree with, but I also think that obviously it was a very skewed opinion on social media.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there was definitely things that they brought up that I think it's good in that it's very thought-provoking and it makes you examine your own habits. I mean, something I noticed just while watching it was that I felt the pull to check my phone while I was yes. watching it. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to check it just out of principle.
Same, yeah.
And me that's too. Something that I've actually lately been trying to avoid is if I'm watching TV or watching a movie, why should I have my phone out? There are times where I'll be watching a movie and then I'll miss something that happens because I was checking my phone.
FOMO. We have such a fear of missing out that we can't just do one thing.
Right, I need to focus my attention. And then it got me thinking, okay, what are times when I'm not feeling that way? And I noticed, okay, when I'm doing something that I really love and enjoy and I'm engaged in it, I'm not feeling that pull to see, oh, what's going on my phone? Because the whole reason you're looking on that phone is to escape any kind of boredom. You're getting that dopamine hit with that instant reward for all of your notifications. And it's like,
you also think, you always think like, oh, there must be something more interesting going on my phone, you know?
Right. And then I realized, okay, I need to be making sure that I am living my life in a way that I'm not trying to find better things going on my phone rather than what I'm doing in that moment.
I would really like to talk about the pros of social media, because I do think that the pros outweigh the cons, especially if you're using social media in a responsible way, and in a healthy way, because we all know when we've been on social media a little too much. And so something that I'd like to start with is, for the last probably like 3 years, I've had this rule where I try my absolute best, and not every day I do this, but I try my best to never look at my social media first thing in the morning. I try and leave my phone on the nightstand and, you know, go wash my face, brush my teeth, get some water, do my little morning routine. And then once I'm kind of awake and, you know, ready for the day, then I'll sometimes look at it. But I don't think you should ever start your day first thing social media, because you're getting bombarded with, actually, you should never start your day with your phone in general, because you immediately get bombarded with messages and emails and, you know, responsibilities that you might not even need to think about in that moment, and things that you totally don't need to worry about, like, you know, random news from, you know, who knows if it's true or not. But that automatically kind of stresses you out and makes you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm behind, when you haven't even started your day. So I think a really healthy thing to do.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. In your settings, you can actually, we were just talking about how you can see how much time you've been spending on screen time, but you can set reminders for different apps. So let's say whatever app happens to be your downfall that you're spending the most time in, you can set a time limit and it'll send you reminders once you've been on that, well, that long. I know a lot of the time I'll get sucked and I won't realize, oh, 20 minutes has gone by, 25 minutes has gone by, and it'll give you reminders so you know how long you've been on that app.
So TikTok has those built in, and I scroll past them every time.
Well, I know, I think there's a way also to do it where it'll actually restrict it. Like,
oh,
like it'll say time limits, and I think you can actually make it so it'll just like completely, oh, here it says always allowed, and it'll let you choose apps that you want, like when you don't want them to be able, when you don't want to be able to use them. Social media can definitely be positive in that it helps you, it can definitely be a connection between other people, which I think is the main reason why it was started in the first place. I think the problem is when it starts becoming a comparison game. So rather than like connecting with other people, you're just comparing yourself to them.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the comparison game on social media in the body positivity episode, yes, which I think everyone should go listen to if they haven't. But yeah, I definitely think that's easy to do, especially because, not, you know, something positive about this year that I've noticed is I feel like social media is starting to get more authentic again. I feel like people are starting to see past the super, what's the word?
Curated.
Yes, super curated feeds. And instead, they're starting to more want authenticity and to see people's real life and behind the scenes and things that they can relate to, rather than these perfect images and, you know, vacations and things like that. I feel like that kind of has started to die out, which I'm glad, you know?
Right.
I think that people are getting tired of the picture perfect feeds and they want to see something real, which is why I think TikTok has been so successful, because it's more, you know, literally anyone can post a video and go viral because it's funny or it's relatable. Whereas a lot of social media platforms, the way that the algorithms work and everything, it's impossible for somebody's content to be seen. But that's why I think TikTok has exploded, is anybody can become just viral overnight, mm-hmm. You know?
Well, it's funny, like if I scroll all the way back or look at all really, really old photos that I might have posted on Instagram or Facebook, it's so funny because it's like there's no filters, they're grainy, they're terrible quality photos, and it'll just be something completely random and that I found funny that day. And I was probably sharing it with like 20 people or what, however many people I had on my page at that point. And I wasn't worried about, is this going to get enough likes? Is this the right image.
You posted what you wanted for you.
And then it's like, and then I went through a phase where I feel like my page was very much just like, these are all the hiking and camping photos that I've done lately and all this outdoor stuff, which was fun. I also enjoyed doing that. But then I kind of almost felt like, oh, I don't want to post other stuff because that's not why these people are following. I want to be able to post about my family or like some dinner I made that looks good. And so I've kind of gotten back to that. Just, I'm posting this because I want to post this.
Yeah. And I think that that's really cool. And I'm glad to see that social media is kind of heading back to that rather than where it had gone a few years ago. But something else that I think is really a positive is, I mean, I guess this could be seen as positive or negative, but you portray yourself how you want to. And something that really like makes me feel crazy when I think about it too long is, have you ever thought about like people see you differently than you think people see you? Do you know what I mean?
I hate when I think about that too
much. If I think about it too much, it makes me feel weird. But anyways.
Wait. Say that again?
Well, have you ever had it where you found out that someone saw you very differently? They give you what, like, their first impression of you was, and it's never what you thought it was.
Well, I wouldn't say never what I thought it was. I think sometimes it's not what you think it would be. But when you're on your social media page, you can portray yourself the way that you see yourself and how you want people to see yourself, which I think is a good thing. I mean, maybe you could I don't think that you should be portraying yourself as someone else. I think you should portray yourself how you see yourself so that maybe if people, I don't know, for me, this is my example. When I was in high school, people would like tell other people that they thought that I was stuck up. But the thing was, is I wasn't, I was just quiet and I didn't, you know, I wasn't super outgoing. And so having social media, you can portray yourself the way that you want people to see you, even if in person, maybe that didn't come across the way you wanted it to. So I think that it can be, I don't know, a really cool way for people who maybe aren't as outgoing in person to themselves online when people will actually give them the space and the time to do so. Did that come across the way that I was trying to say it?
Yes. Interesting, very interesting way to think about it. Also, there's so many different support groups and like for people that have very specific issues that they might feel alone in. I belong to a couple different groups that I find very supportive. And honestly, I don't really contribute to them. I more just read other people's advice or like look at their stories, and I feel like, oh, I'm not the only person that deals with this. And it's nice just to feel like there's other people and what you're experiencing is normal.
Yeah, totally. That's actually so cool. Like, you can have a little community, you know, on a social media platform that makes you feel like you're not going through something alone, and there's other people who can give you advice and support. And that's one of like the best things about social media. So yeah, I think that's really cool. Amy, did you want to add to that at all?
I feel like you guys have said most of the things I would have said, just how it's nice to be able to have the connections you maybe wouldn't. There are people that I really care about and that I really enjoy that I probably wouldn't be able to keep connected with because I just wouldn't have the time to call or reach out to every single person in a day. But if I post a big life event or they post a life event, it reminds me about that, and I can make sure to stay like part of their life and have them stay part of my life, even if it's in kind of a small way. And I know some people say that social media isn't like a real connection, but when it's somebody that you already do have a real connection with, and I can say, oh my gosh, I got to see her maternity photos, that's so wonderful, I'm so excited for them, I think that is a real connection, and you're getting to be part of that, especially if you comment or, you know, reach out to them about
it. And it can become a real connection. Like, you can meet someone and then meet up with them. And some people have met their best friends or their, you know, spouse on social media.
Right, we haven't even talked about dating apps.
Yeah, like, it,
oh gosh,
yeah. Which I'm sure has their also set of cons. But, I mean, it's pretty cool that you can put your interests into, you know, your profile and then kind of weed out people that have nothing in common with you. You know what I mean? Like, that's actually pretty cool.
I have several friends.
Maddie, opposites attract.
Wait, what do you mean?
Just kidding. I said opposites attract, but I don't think I've ever actually agreed with that.
I have several friends that's how they met their spouse and they got married. So.
Yep. That's kind of how I mean, I think that's a pretty popular way of meeting people now for, you know, romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. Another direction that I think is pretty cool is that social media can also make people, how do I want to say this? It can give people chances that never would have had those chances otherwise. Like, for example, people, you know, 20, not even 20 years ago, like 15 years ago, if they wanted to become famous or well-known or, you know, share something that they are really good at, there wasn't really a way to monetize that or even get that out into the world. And your chances of, you know, having any kind of recognition for things was a lot smaller, whereas now anyone can make a name for themselves or create a business or become famous for their talent by social media. Like, Justin Bieber is literally who he is today because of YouTube. That's how he got famous. Like, his video went viral of him singing, and that's why he's where he is. Whereas, like, you know, if it had been years prior, that couldn't have happened.
Right, you'd have to win American Idol or something to get to that point.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking about, it doesn't even have to be that big of a thing, but someone could start a small business on Etsy and that could become their career, you know, if they're an artist, which is so cool, because I think of like our aunt, for example. Mm-hmm. She was an artist and she taught art at a college, but like, what if she could have sold her art on Etsy? Like, how cool would that have been that she could have gotten it out there in that way when maybe she was younger or whatever, right. But
like, with the internet, it's so much easier to find that group of people that are perfect for your product, because it's the kind of thing that maybe there are tons of people in the nation or in the world that would love what you have, but if you don't have a way to reach them, it can be so hard. And like you said, she might have been able to find just the perfect people for what she made.
Yeah, exactly. And that kind of even goes to something else that I had thought about earlier that I wanted to talk about is by finding your people. So say you go to a very small high school and you don't have a lot of things in common with a lot of people there. And so it makes you feel kind of isolated. But if you can find the people you have things in common with, possibly online, that can change your life. Like, you can meet people with similar mindsets who have similar interests and goals and just hype you up and are your people, versus like people who tore you down and made you feel like the things that you liked weren't cool. And so I think that it's a really cool way for people to find their people.
No, I definitely agree with that. Well, or even just the resources that are available. Like, I know people are always posting, like, they lost their pet, like, keep an eye out in this area. Or like, people share, I'll see friends of mine share someone else's post saying, okay, my friend's dog is missing, keep an eye out in this area. And then they'll end up being reunited with their pet because somebody they don't even know happened to see this post on Facebook and gets their dog returned to them. Or like, I've seen, I mean, I realize that these are not super common, but like, someone will need like a organ transplant or some organ donor, and they will find a match through social media. Or like, you'll see these old like World War II veterans looking for other people from their unit to reconnect with, or like people have people have found their birth parents through social media, and like all kinds of connections made that way.
Yeah, which is so cool. Like, the power of the internet is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, something also really quick is like, finding a job, at least for our age group, having the access to job boards is so nice. Like, do you remember like way back when you had to get a paper application and fill that out and take it back? And
yes,
that was not a fun process. Yes.
Oh, and then do you remember? See, that just makes me think of how, not necessarily now, but a little few years back, our parents' generation just assumed you had to walk into a business with a paper resume and give it to somebody. And they kept telling us to do that. Oh my gosh. No one's going to take them. No one wants my paper resume.
There's nothing as embarrassing as walking into a business and being like, hi, here's my resume in case you're hiring, and them looking at you like you are crazy.
What do you want me to do with this? Yeah, I had that a long time ago.
Yeah, that's not a fun situation either. Not a great time.
You know, some ways that I've seen social media use really, or not even just social media, I should just say like technology that has been really neat in like the classroom is you can do virtual tours. So that opens up a whole new world that obviously I can't take my students on a field trip to go see the Louvre, or I can't take them to go see the Eiffel Tower, whatever it is that I want them to, or these pyramids, whatever it is I want them to check out. You can go on a virtual tour and put it up on the screen, and it's they even make like the virtual reality goggles that you can have them wear, and like it's like a 3D tour, and it looks like they're walking around within that space. It's really neat and it's very engaging, and I think that's going to be a lot more memorable than just reading about a place.
Oh yeah, that's definitely so cool. I didn't even know that was a thing.
So that's really cool. You can search virtual tours, and you can find a lot of free ones online. Like you can look in like the Sistine Chapel, and like you can look inside all kinds of cool places, like, and look at like the ceiling and everything as if you were in there.
I mean, that's such a cool idea. Whoever thought of that is very smart.
And I mean, also you can teach yourself, like if there's a skill you want to learn. So just pretty much anything you need is out there, although it can get really overwhelming. Like I remember when I was trying to plan my wedding, I was like, wow, I've got all these choices and all these ideas on Pinterest. And I started going crazy, saving all these things. And then pretty soon it was just like overwhelming and I didn't even know where to go because it was like there were too many ideas.
Yeah. But I mean, it is so cool that you can teach yourself anything. Mm-hmm. Like, that is really
one of my old coworkers. I remember we were talking about like wedding planning, and she goes, I kind of feel like I should get a do-over because Pinterest wasn't a thing when I got married.
Yeah, seriously. Well, and I mean, things that were trendy 10 years ago are not trendy anymore. Right. It really is crazy, though, because, like, things from 2010 I look at now and I'm like, there's no way this will ever be popular again. But I'm sure every time that trends come back, people probably think that.
Pretty excited that scrunchies are a thing again.
Yeah.
Scrunchies, high-waisted jeans, and slip dresses. All the 90s stuff is back.
I'm here for it.
Okay, but I remember, like, early 2000s wanting to have the low-rise bell-bottom jeans so bad.
Yes, I'm glad those are not in anymore, though.
Oh, but Muffin I wanted them days. Because I had, when I was like early 2000s, I had all of like the 90s jeans still. They were like probably hand-me-downs, but like I wanted those low-rise jeans so bad.
I had this image in my head of you wearing like some Wrangler jeans while we were outside.
Oh gosh, yep.
Like Wrangler jeans with a t-shirt.
That was my aesthetic.
There you go. That's okay. Mine was gauchos and sweatshirts, so not much better.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So do either of you feel like there are changes that you are going to be making or things you're going to be doing differently now that you've kind of, like, examined your own screen time habits?
There's something that I've been planning to do for quite a while and just haven't gotten around to actually implementing it. And that's when Jade and I are hanging out in the living room, whether we're eating dinner or watching a movie, whatever it is we're doing, I'm going to try and make us put our phones in the kitchen. That way, both of us receive texts and calls late at night for work sometimes. So we do need to have them available, but we don't need to be on them. So I'm going to try to initiate a new rule where we have the volume on, but we put them in a different room. So we're focusing on whatever it is we're doing together and actually have more quality
time
together.
That's a good idea. That's something that Aaron and I started doing, I don't know, probably almost 2 years ago now, is that at dinner time, like we got better at actually sitting at the table and not just watching. Like, well, we watch TV most nights together, but when it's time for dinner, like the TV is off, we sit down and actually eat dinner together and phones are put away while we're eating. So then we're actually like talking, not just sitting watching TV, because otherwise what's the point It's like I could just go watch TV by myself. Just the fact that we're both in the same room together doesn't mean we're actually spending time together, you know?
So I already don't have my social media notifications on, so I have to actually go into the app to get notified for things. That way it, you know, same thing, doesn't notify me all the time, which is good because as soon as your screen lights up, you have to look at it, you know, it's like impossible not to. But also just continuing to try my best not to look at social media or my phone in general first thing in the morning.
It's amazing how big of a difference that makes turning your notifications off. For a while there in college, I noticed whenever I posted a picture on Instagram, I would pay so close attention to how many people were liking it and how many notifications were popping up. And I just kept having to go check it. Whereas now after turning that off, I will forget that I even posted a picture half the time, which I think is a much better way to feel about it.
Just trying to be smart, you know, like not scrolling for tons of time and trying to be more present and not get that pull like we were talking about to constantly be checking your phone, which it is hard. But
even talking about it, it's funny, you'd think it would make me be like, I need to get off my phone, but it's kind of making me want to check things.
I know.
One thing that, because I've already turned my notifications off and I have found that that's helpful. But one thing I do want to be more mindful of is diversifying my feed, like who I'm following. And I'm not saying I'm just going to purposely find people that like, my point is I'm going to find people that may not exactly share the exact same viewpoint as me, because I think it's important to, I don't have to agree with them to follow them, but I like to be able to see, okay, where are you coming from? Why are you thinking this way? So yeah, I don't think that I should be just having, I don't think I should just have people that think exactly the same way as me on my feed. Intentionally been like looking for other people that may not look like me or maybe thinking different ways. And it's been interesting because like I've been learning things on my like Instagram that I may not have otherwise. So.
Yeah, really. I mean, social media can really open your eyes, I think, in good ways to see very different perspectives. People from, you know, across the world could show you their way of life that you never knew. It can make you feel really, really grateful.
Right.
Okay, so we thought it would be fun to end. I found a BuzzFeed quiz that's what is your aesthetic? I have a hard time saying that word for some reason, but anyways. So I don't know if everybody is aware, but a lot of the times your social media has a lot to do with what's aesthetically pleasing and what your, a big thing recently, like this year, I feel like, is finding your aesthetic, like what colors and feelings and mood and music and things that are like what your, I guess, brand is. I don't know how else to put it. So we're going to find Amy's really quick. Okay, Amy, what's your favorite, pick a color, blue, yellow, green, or black?
Blue.
Which of these drinks is your favorite? Coffee, soda, tea, or red wine?
Coffee.
Great. So far, we have the same answers on everything. Okay.
Oh.
where would you rather live? A villa in Italy, a huge manor, a cottage in the woods, or a hut in a marshy forest?
How big of a cottage are we talking?
Like, it's a beautiful cottage. Like, if you could see the picture, it's beautiful.
Like, it's not tiny, like Hagrid's hut or anything like that.
No, the hut on the marshy forest is kind of like Hagrid's house, but the cottage in the woods is a beautiful cottage.
Then I'm going with the cottage in the woods, I think.
Okay. Choose something for breakfast. A full English breakfast, granola, just coffee, or waffles?
I guess what's a full English breakfast entail? Because that's pretty good.
So English breakfasts have beans. Did you know that?
That doesn't sound.
Wait, I don't know. I think I want to take back my.
So it has like some toast, beans, bacon, a tomato, and a hash brown and an egg.
I mean, if we take out the beans, that's okay.
I think beans can go with breakfast, like a breakfast burrito.
Makes sense.
Okay. Anyways, pick.
Sure. Okay, we'll do English breakfast, I guess.
Okay, hold on.
In my mind, I just thought of like eggs and bacon and potatoes and stuff. Okay, that's fine.
Wait, so did you want the English breakfast?
Yes.
Okay. Pick a pet. Cat, rabbit, bird, or snail.
Oh, well,
I feel like I'm playing snail as a pet with my second grade self.
I'm going to pick a cat.
Okay. Choose a film. Lady Bird, Labyrinth, Kiki's Delivery Service, or Dead Poets Society. Wow. I've only seen two of these.
I don't love these options.
Okay, well, you're going to have to pick one.
Dead Poets Society.
Okay, which of these artists is your favorite? Hozier, Fleetwood Mac, The Smiths, or Sufjan Stevens? I don't know who that is. I only know who two of these are.
I don't know these options. I'm going to go with Fleetwood Mac.
That's who I would have gone with, too. Okay. And finally, choose a bedroom. Oh, I'm going to have to describe these to you because there's no description. Okay. The first one is pink, like a soft pastel. I said that weird. A soft pastel pink with, like, really pretty soft lighting around mirror. The mattress is on the floor. There's plants in there. There's a wood floor. The second one has, like, books everywhere and a spiral staircase. And natural lighting, beige walls, has a desk there with portraits on the wall. The third one is very warm tones with a very cozy looking bed and lanterns. And the last one is very minimalistic and modern looking with a sleek bed and a window.
Hey, Maddie, I'm just gonna go with the one where you described the bed as cozy. I think that was the
okay, Amy. Okay, I'm actually so surprised because I feel like this actually describes you. Okay, your aesthetic is okay, light academia. Classic literature and fine art have a special place in your heart and always will. You love nature and pay attention to the little details.
I like it.
That sounds
I feel like that actually was pretty accurate. Okay, Katie. Yes. Okay. Okay, pick a color. Blue, yellow, green, or black?
Yellow. Turquoise wasn't a choice.
Aw, yay. I thought you'd pick yellow. Okay, choose a season. Winter, spring, summer, or fall?
Summer.
Okay, which is your favorite? Coffee, soda, tea, or red wine? Where would you rather live? A villa in Italy, a huge manor, a cottage in the woods, or a hut on a marshy forest?
I'm going to go with the cottage in the woods. The hut and marshy doesn't sound very nice.
Okay, choose something for breakfast. A full English breakfast, granola, waffles, or just coffee?
Waffles. Yeah.
I'm making waffles.
Yeah.
Okay, pick a pet. Cat, rabbit, bird, or snail?
Cat.
Okay, choose a film. Lady Bird, Labyrinth, Dead Poets Society, or Kiki's Delivery Service?
Dead Poets Society.
Options. Which of these artists is your favorite? Do you even know who Sufjan Stevens is? Am I saying this correctly?
I don't know. Let me look it up really quick. Say it again.
Hozier is the guy who sings Take Me to Church. Fleetwood Mac, I like. And I don't know who the Smiths are either. They look like maybe a rock band. Possibly. Katie, you're taking too long. Sorry. Hozier or Fleetwood Mac?
I'm going to go with... wait, sorry. What were my choices?
Hozier? The Take Me to Church guy? Hozier is. I worship like a something on a Saturday night.
Fleetwood Mac.
Are those the right words?
I like Hozier a lot, but a lot of his lyrics are very dark. I'm going to go with Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. And finally, choose a bedroom. Okay, do you want the pastel pink with the soft light and the mattress on the floor? Do you want the spiral staircase with the books, or the cozy bed, or a minimalistic, modern-looking bedroom?
I'm going to go with the spiral staircase with the books.
Okay, Katie, your aesthetic is cottagecore. You have a soft and gentle warmth to you, which others adore. Your absolute dream is to run away with a close friend or lover.
I like it.
I like how she didn't pick cottage in the woods, but she got
cottage in the woods.
Got cottagecore. Why did I think
she did pick? No.
Oh.
She did.
You know, you kept talking about the marsh. I think in my head, I thought you picked something else. Never mind.
Okay, really quickly, I'm going to pick mine.
You're going to pick Bella.
Tell us your choices out loud.
Okay, I'm picking blue is my color. Summer is my season. Coffee is my drink, which we actually all agreed on those three.
I picked all of those answers out for you.
Yep. I'm picking the villa in Italy for my house.
I think it's hard because we can't.
That's what I would have picked for you.
But yes.
That's true.
Well, I love Italian home architecture. So I'm picking that one.
I would have, yeah, I was like, I know, I've seen your Pinterest dream house. I know what you would have picked for that.
For my breakfast, I'm picking just coffee. And for my pet, I am also picking the cat because I don't want the other ones. For my film, I'm actually, I'm kind of torn between Lady Bird and Dead Poets Society because Lady Bird had parts that I didn't like, but I do love, I'm a sucker for coming of age movies.
I never saw it.
That have like,
I never saw it.
I don't think you would like it, but I like that type of movie.
Why wouldn't I like it?
Isn't that like Timothy Chalamet in there?
Honestly, there's parts that I didn't like, but I do like that type of movie. Okay, so for my singers, I'm picking Fleetwood Mac. And for my bedroom, I'm picking the pastel pink with the plants and the soft lighting. Oh, Amy, I got the same one as you. Classic literature and fine art have a special place in your heart and always will. I'm kind of surprised.
It'd be funny if there were only two options you could get.
Let's pick something super random just for fun.
Okay.
Our favorite color is black.
But we're picking black, winter.
winter.
Soda or red wine. Or
soda.
Drink. Red wine.
Soda.
Soda. Okay, fine. Soda.
Let's pick the hut in a marshy forest.
Yes.
Granola.
I have oatmeal for breakfast.
And
every day.
A snail.
A snail.
And a labyrinth.
Hoodoo.
Oh, okay. Hoodoo. We got something different, you guys. We got goblin core.
What the?
You appreciate what others would call the uglier side of nature. You adore frogs and bugs and all the other natural treasures that you can find.
Treasures.
Oh, we got very different then.
All right. Well, that was fun. Oh, man. I could really spend a lot of time taking quizzes because these are kind of fun.
I feel like they're not as big a thing anymore. Like, on MySpace, people used to take quizzes all the time. Like,
I remember that, and you'd post them for other people.
Oh, yeah.
What menu item are you from McDonald's? Like, what kind of animal brain do you have? I don't even remember. They were all, like, weird things like that. What nail polish color should you wear?
I saw a video the other day, and you know how everyone is customizing their home screens with the new update and doing their own aesthetic or whatever? I saw something, and it was like, you know, we've come full circle. People are personalizing their home screens. That's what MySpace was. You personalized it to your own aesthetic.
That's so
true. And everyone
could
come see how cute it was. We have come full circle back to MySpace.
Pretty much, actually.
That's funny.
Well, I don't remember where I saw, but it was some young teenager saying, you know what would be so cool is if when people went to your Instagram page, your favorite song was playing. And I was like, oh, no. Sometimes I wonder what song I left playing on my MySpace when I forgot the passwords and never logged in again at some point years ago.
Amy, I bet you it was that Love Like Whoa. All right, well, that's about it for this discussion. I think that it could have gone on for a really long time because this is such an interesting topic and something
that two-parter.
Maybe, but let us know if you liked it and what your thoughts were. As always, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts because that really does help us and we appreciate it so, so much.
If you have any thoughts or comments on this topic, let us know and maybe we can include them in that second part.
Yes, you can find us on Instagram or Facebook. Just search for She's My Sister Podcast.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate you and hope you have a wonderful week.
Ta-ta.
Why did I want to say amen at the end of that?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening and we'll see you next time.
Bye.